Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, November 20th, 2015. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the Islamic State and Muslim terrorism in general. We will make an effort to discern why they do it. Why are Muslims willing to strap bombs to their chests? Why are they willing to launch suicide attacks, etc.? Why do they seemingly have no regard for human life, even their own? I'm going to assume that you all know what happened in Paris recently, so we don't have to focus on that. Instead, we look at the causes. We explore what can be done about those causes and what can be done to prevent such attacks in the future. In one sense, the cause is irrelevant. There are many theories revolving around U.S. imperialism, the U.S. invasion of Iraq, the U.S. war in Syria, etc. But when you have a home invasion by a killer, first you have to deal with the killer. Then you have time to look at why he kills and why he steals. There seems to be a lack of understanding of the Paris attacks among Western leaders, or at least a refusal to look at the real causes of Muslim terrorism. Secretary of State John Kerry struggles to explain the Paris attacks as a good example. Quote, "There's something different about what happened from Charlie Hebdo. I think everybody would feel that. There was a sort of particularized focus and perhaps even a legitimacy in terms of, not a legitimacy, but a rationale that you could attach yourself to somehow and say, okay, they're really angry because of this and that. This Friday was absolutely indiscriminate. It wasn't to aggrieve one particular sense of wrong. It was to terrorize people. It was to attack everything that we do stand for," end quote. Well, Mr. Kerry had a lot more to say, but that's enough for us to analyze. First of all, he's struggling to explain what he seems to have no understanding of. Charlie Hebdo, he understands. He even calls it legitimate, then corrects himself. It was understandable because if the cartoonists at Charlie Hebdo and other people would just refrain from insulting Muhammad, they would not be attacked. The attack was indiscriminate, he says. He doesn't understand that. Random, indiscriminate attacks are more frightening because they emphasize that anyone could become the next victim, even if he doesn't insult Muhammad. In response, I would say that most terrorist attacks are completely random and indiscriminate. Charlie Hebdo was the exception, not the rule. Second, the Paris terrorists were trying to aggrieve a particular situation. Some of them were reported as shouting, quote, "You will pay for what you have done in Syria," end quote. So, killing some 250,000 civilians, displacing 4 million others, and destroying the infrastructure of Syria in an effort to change its government for some never-stated reason is a situation they were trying to aggrieve. Second, the Islamic State and Islam in general doesn't adhere to and even recognize the West concept of not attacking civilian targets. ISIS is not a member of the Geneva Convention, and what would make anyone think that people who kidnap, enslave, rape children, who behead mass numbers of captives, would care anything about civilians? These people are aliens from the 7th century. They're barbarians, and we have brought them into our midst. The Islamic State's tactics are based on medieval laws of jihad. These laws do not recognize the Western concept of civilians. To the contrary, the Islamic State believes that killing unbelievers is a moral act. Surah 9:5 of their holy book says, quote, "Fight and kill the idolaters wherever you find them," end quote. The ISIS fighters, then, are not perverting a great religion as many in the West would like us to believe. They are instead living out their religion because everything they do is based on the Quran and on Islamic law. When they say that raping young children captured and sold as slaves is worship of Allah, they mean it. The ultimate goal of Islam and the reason Islamic terrorists kill, enslave, rape, and terrorize is not opposition to U.S. imperialism. They want to create a climate in the West that will allow them to bring non-Muslims everywhere to convert to Islam. live under an Islamic caliphate or die. ISIS is fighting in Europe for the surrender or conversion of Europe. They think long term and they are willing to achieve their goals over decades or even centuries. Their objections to Europeans and Americans is not that they are imperialistic, it is that they are not Muslims. Those who are not Muslims have no value. Their deaths are unimportant. We in the West need to wake up to that fact. So, what should we do? The Islamic State has been allowed to gain traction worldwide. It's viewed by many as an ascendant state, as winning the struggle. These things increase its recruiting efforts. Tentative efforts to combat it only make the West look weak. There have been actually some successes on the battlefield, some reverses for ISIS fighters on the battlefield in Syria and Iraq. We should acknowledge those successes, join with those fighting our enemy, the ones actively engaged, besides the United States and now France, or Russia and the Syrian government of al-Assad. Why do we spend tens of billions of dollars and many lives to overthrow someone who is fighting the people who mean to kill us? The question begs for an answer. The first order of business in fighting Islamic terrorism is to stop the Muslim influx into Europe and the United States. The free world should come together and form a joint plan to accomplish that. Before the influx can be stopped, we should abandon our politically correct jargon, call Islamic terrorism what it is. These politically correct, cowardly efforts to appease the enemy don't work. They only embolden the enemy, and it makes you look what you really are. If we stop Islamic immigration, we might be called Islamophobes and racist. So what? That's better than emasculated, decultured cowards. What's the point of boots on the ground in Syria if we continue to bring Syria here? Let's say you want to invite 10 people to Thanksgiving dinner at your house, but you know that one of the 10 is a mass murdering psychopath. 4 of the remaining 9 actually agree with the mass murderer, although they will not help him. The last 5 just remain silent on the subject of mass murder. Would you invite those people to your home? Well, Europe is inviting them. They're inviting them by the millions, and the United States by the tens of thousands. Going to war on the ground in Syria and Iraq is not the answer. The United States spent trillions of dollars and thousands of lives fighting the war on terror. As a result, the world is less safe. Terrorism is worse than ever. The result would be bigger government with more bureaucracy and a higher and higher price to pay for it. The desire for revenge is a strong one, though. I admit that. I, too, have a strong desire for revenge. We have to focus instead on keeping America and the American people safe. We do that by returning to our basic strategy of building alliances to secure our borders, to hunt down, prosecute, and kill jihadis in our midst, and to understand our cultural heritage is something worth protecting. However, death is not much of a threat to people who don't fear death. In fact, they welcome it. The Quran teaches that loving life is a characteristic of infidels. The Bible tells us to choose life, but the Quran teaches its followers to seek death. Muslim jihadists are dedicated terroristic warriors who are willing to fight to the death for what they believe to be true. What are we in the West willing to die to protect? Abortion? Obamacare? No, we must return to original intent and to our cultural heritage. The will to win is often the difference between victory and defeat, and the West, especially the United States, is losing the battle for our lives and for our culture. The Israelis solved the "they do not fear death" problem by confiscating the homes and property of the terrorist families. Put simply, they burned the homes of all family members of terrorists. The Israelis have something worth defending. The progressive left often tells us we should not alienate our Muslim population, but how do you alienate someone who is already alien, as I said before? cowardly efforts to appease those who hate you and want to kill you only make you look like what you really are. Instead, we in the United States have to be ready to, in a way, take the law into our own hands. By that I mean be ready to defend ourselves and our families. Stop cowering in the crosshairs, hoping they don't kill you. We are going to have to accept the fact that our defense is our own responsibility, because the government has no stomach for it. The United States desperately needs leaders, leaders who believe we have something worth defending. Finally, folks, the United States needs a leader. It needs a leader for the coming days of great conflict. We need a Braveheart or a Charles Martel, but all we have is an emasculated pajama boy. I guess we have to do it ourselves. At least that's the way I see it. Now, a reminder, next week is Thanksgiving. I'll join you again, God willing, Friday, December 4th. Till next time, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.